Having spent some time considering God as Father and Almighty, we move on now to consider God as the Creator. And before unpacking a few bits and pieces of a reflection about God as Creator, I want to do an exercise together. I want you to take Psalm 104 and read it. It's a bit of a lengthy psalm, but it's this great declaration of praise to a God who is Father, who is Almighty, and who is also Creator. And so this is where all three of these elements of the creed really come together in Scripture. And so I want you to read Psalm 104 and to just quietly note on your own some of the things that jump out at you. What are the things that evoke praise in you? Or what are some of the thoughts that come to your mind as you read this psalm? And having noted some of these things from Psalm 104, we'll then come back to this at the very end of our session. So we press on to pick up the third descriptor we're given of God in the creed, and that is the Creator of heaven and earth. And so an extension of an almighty Father, and this is what Pedram was saying, is his creativity. There's a Father who is powerful to make something, but a God who has a Father's heart and desires to create, particularly us. This is a picture we get of God. He is the Creator. The very first recorded work of God in Genesis is a reflection of his creativity. In the beginning, God created. These are the first words of Scripture. The picture we get of God from the very beginning of the Bible is that of a painter, right? This is what Murray was saying. We get a picture of this painter creating a masterpiece on a canvas of our world. God creates the heavens and the earth. That is, he is our cosmic creator. He's created all things. Everything that is has its origin in God's creative mind and power. It's like John the Evangelist says, he's speaking of Jesus, but the concept is he's speaking of God. It says, through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. We might say that God is the great artist. I'm just wondering, are there any artists out there? Not a lot. I'm always taken with the fact that God is the great artist, that he is the one that creates. And I often think that sometimes we're missing something when we're not engaging this creative side of ourselves. But that's an opinion. And so I love this creative nature of God. God's art, his creation, it's always a reflection of himself. And I don't know if you've ever thought about that. When we create something, artists create something, it's a reflection of something inside of them. And the same is true of God. His art, his creation, it's a reflection of him in some way, shape, or form. Romans 1:20, this is quite a well-known verse, but maybe you're hearing it for the first time. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what he has made." It's through creation that we actually get a glimpse of God. It's as though at times God's presence, power, and majesty seems to be written into the fabric of his creation. It's as though God, like an artist, has signed his name on his creation for everyone to see. I'm wondering, has anyone had a significant experience of God through creation? Maybe as they were hiking or, you know, just alone. Some people often will have an experience of God in creation. I know my wife has. So just pause to share with one another if anybody has experienced God through creation. Now, we cannot know God fully through creation. We can only know so much of God. For instance, creation can point us to a powerful creator who gives life, but it says little more about this God. Right? It doesn't tell us exactly what God is like. It points like a sign pointing towards something. It says there's something beyond, something big, something greater, something that's the author of beauty and life. But it can't tell us much more about God. And that's why we have the scriptures and Jesus himself. These two things become the full revelation of God to his people. While God's image is woven into the fabric of our world, so too is his image imprinted on us. Sorry, this is... So to wrap up the first thought, God's image is all over creation. It points to him, but it doesn't tell us all about him. We have the scriptures and Jesus for that. And so that's just to round out that thought. But one of the places we see God's fingerprint, his very image woven into the fabric of his creation is in us, right? God created every human person in his image, which made me think of this question, which I don't think I've ever heard asked before. What do you see of God in yourself? So I want to take 5 minutes for you to bat that question. We often talk about, well, what don't we see of God in ourselves, right? Those are pretty easy to come up with. Well, yeah, they're pretty easy to come up with if we're in touch with who we really are, right? Or no, that's not true. They're easy to see when we know our sin, but that's not who we really are. And so what I want to ask is, what do you see of God in yourself? Take 5 minutes. This might be a tougher question to answer, but I want you to bat it around. I think we could talk a lot about this, where we see God in ourselves. And I think it's good. It's good for us to recognize that we've been made in God's image, that his fingerprint is placed on us. And this is what it means to be truly human. And this is part of our sanctifying work as followers of Jesus. Our pursuit is to learn how to be human, not to be worldly, but to be the way God made us, made for relationship with him as a reflection of him. I'm convinced that that's truly what it means to be made human, right? Maybe not in the same way, because I don't have it written down. But I think what it means to be truly human is that we were made to have relationship with God, to be in relationship with him. And there was something else that sounded really great. So just you make it up. To be a reflection. Thank you, Gina. Thanks. To be a reflection that we are in relationship, that there's this kind of intimate communicating relationship. And so I actually walked through two of these points here, Pedram. So being created in God's image means two things, I think. We actually bear the image of the one who made us. His fingerprint in some way is on us. And this means not only that we're like him in some way or ways, but that we're also made for him, that we're made to be in a relationship with him. This is part of what it means to be made in God's image. Augustine once wrote this. It's a great quote. You've probably heard it before. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. It's this idea that from the very beginning, God made us for him. From the very get-go, what it means to be human is that we were made for God. That our image and our identity is found when we find our rest in God. We remain unsatisfied and unfulfilled until we enter into a relationship with the one who made us. But secondly, being made in God's image also reminds us that we belong to him. Not just that we were made for a relationship with him, but that we actually belong to him. That we're not our own masters, that we're his. Matthew 22, I was going to work through this passage, but we don't have much time left. I'll go through it for you. Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22. This is the story of Jesus being asked about paying taxes. A great passage. I'll read it. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap Jesus in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Teacher, they said to Jesus, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? And what we have to know about this passage is it's a trap. Get out, Jesus! Get out! They want to trap him between saying, well, no, we don't pay taxes, and then he'd get in trouble with the government, and then saying, yes, we should pay taxes, and then getting in trouble with the religious leaders that are saying you're putting the government above God. It's a trap. He can't win. But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, whose image is this, and whose inscription? They looked at the coin. Caesar's, they replied. Then he said to them, so give back to Caesar's what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. When they heard this, they were amazed, so they left him and went away. Jesus makes a remarkable claim here. This is one of my favorite stories because you see that, like, his brilliance. And he's a bit cheeky, too, which I kind of like. Right? He's in the trap. How's he going to get out? Well, bring me a coin. Show me the picture on the coin. Well, it's Caesar. Give it to the government if it's Caesar's. But then he asks, or then he makes the statement, but give to God what is God's. And he doesn't say it. But what he's implying is that you belong to God. You've been marked with a stamp and an inscription. From the very beginning, you belong to God. That you're not your own. You've been made to be in relationship. You've been made for your Creator. As His creation, we are compelled to live out what we have been designed for. Life with Him. That's what we're made for. So I want to conclude tonight just with one thought that has two implications. The thought is that God's creation is precious. You know, as we talk about God the Creator, we're confessing Him as the Creator, we have to admit that His creation is precious. And we should treat it with the respect and care that He does. And this has two particular implications that I want to end on. The first is this. Being created in His image means that we must recognize God's fingerprint in every human being. Every human being is created by God. As such, they have an inherent dignity, an inherent worth. I think we're prone to forget this as Christians. We tend only to see others' brokenness or sin. We tend to walk down the street and only see somebody who is homeless or is begging for money. We fail to see the very image of God that's been printed on their soul. Everyone is a valuable child of God, just like you, just like me. And so, as we approach God the Creator, I want us to be reminded of the inherent worth and value that God places on all people. And for some of you, that might be, you need to hear that that's you. You might feel like you're not worth anything. You might feel like you're not valuable. But God's image is imprinted on you. And so, being created in his image, we must recognize his fingerprint in all human beings. Gina, did you want to jump in there? I saw your hand. Okay, well, you'll have an opportunity here at the end. The last implication for treating God's creation with respect and care, we've been placed in God's creation, the world, to tend to it and to care for it. We are stewards, not owners of creation. Our history has been one of exploiting creation and its resources. But God's entrusted his creation to us. And I think we'd be wise to treat it with the respect and care it deserves. It's too late for a lot of, or we think it's too late for a lot of things. But God is the great Redeemer. I'm not using this as a political platform to say that we should go green by any means. I'm just offering a reflection. If God cares for his creation, we better get doing the same thing. Now, to conclude our time, I want to come back to Psalm 104 and some of those things that jumped out to you in the passage, some of the things you reflected on at the very beginning. And as we talk about God the Creator, I'd like you to create something yourself. I'd like you to write your own psalm based on some of the things in Psalm 104 or some of the thoughts that you've had tonight reflecting on God the Creator. And so I want you to create your own psalm of praise to God based on his character. A prayer from your own heart to God about who he is. And so take 5 or 10 minutes to create this thing on your own. And then I'd like you to close your time together by praying with one another. And as you pray with one another, perhaps you might pray out your own psalm, that this would be your prayer to God this evening. And so I encourage you to that.